Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, greetings and good morning, fellow citizens of the Commonwealth of Heaven. Welcome today, fellow citizens. And this is what Paul says of himself and the Philippian believers, and therefore of you. You are citizens of a state of the Commonwealth of Heaven. And no, you don't need to die and go to heaven to achieve this status. This is who you are right now, citizens of this Commonwealth. And what that means is that your Creator, the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has saved you from destruction and has brought you into his salvation. And therefore, you're in a position where you could acknowledge that this God, he is the one who rules and reigns not only over all of creation, but he rules and reigns over you and over us as we're gathered together as a church. And you are those for whom God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ. And your Lord Jesus Christ has come as your servant and has redeemed you and saved you from destruction. And so you are truly blessed because you are those who acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and you are those who get to confess that Jesus is Lord. As Paul said earlier, it is true that every knee in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But right now, not every tongue does confess, but your tongues do. And I think the force of Paul's words in that Christological hymn are that the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even Satan, our God's enemy and the enemy of his people, will one day bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but you do not have to wait for Satan to do it first. You don't have to wait for the last day when the whole universe will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. You get to do it right now. Right now, you get to confess that Jesus is Lord, and you get to live as if he is your Lord. And what does that look like? What does it look like to live as if Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Well, it's not necessarily a very easy answer that Paul gives us in Philippians, because for the Apostle Paul, him living as if Jesus Christ is his Lord means that he is presently in prison for preaching Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is now in prison in Rome awaiting a trial. It could very well be that that trial resulted in his execution, or likely he was released only to be arrested again later and then executed. And so for Paul to live as if Jesus Christ is Lord meant that he got to suffer for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. And then the Philippians, they got to send Paul a gift, an encouragement, and so partake in his suffering. And Paul warns them earlier in the letter that yes, part of being a Christian, part of believing in Jesus, is this call to be willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus and the gospel, even as Paul is presently suffering for the sake of Jesus. And so, to live as Jesus is Lord is to take the gospel so seriously, you're willing to suffer and even die for the sake of Jesus and his word. And there's more also that is implied when we confess that Jesus is Lord. Think back to the Christological hymn of chapter 2. It follows these words where Paul admonishes the Philippians and says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so part of following Jesus as Lord is, in a sense, to do as Jesus did. It's interesting, what Paul has said here is that Jesus put your interests before his own interests. He thought more of you than he thought of himself. And this is what the incarnation means, that Jesus took on the form of a servant. He took on human form and then was faithful unto death, even the horrible death of a cross, so that he would save you from destruction and make you citizens of the commonwealth of heaven. And then as our Lord, so we are called to put one another's interests ahead of our own, to be mindful of the needs of others, to serve one another, even as our Lord has served us. And so, Jesus is Lord, therefore I'm willing to suffer the loss of everything, even my life, for the sake of Jesus and his gospel. Jesus is Lord, and therefore we are called to serve one another in love, even as Jesus has served us. And I think it's this especially that clues us in to what Paul means when he warns us about those enemies of the cross. Many walk as enemies of the cross, and what's fearful about this is I don't think Paul is talking about the outsiders who've rejected the gospel. He's talking about those who've been inside the church but have turned away. And when they become enemies of the cross, well, I think it's likely they become enemies of this calling that we receive. Not just enemies of the salvation that we receive, but this call to suffer, this call to serve one another. These people are earthly minded, and therefore they're not willing to suffer. They're not willing to go to jail as Paul is because of Jesus and the gospel. They're earthly minded, and so they want to seek their own interests, not the interests of others, and not the interests of their Lord. I recall in the past how whenever I read this passage and I heard Paul talk about enemies of the cross, I always thought of these people in the worst possible terms. You know, I grew up in Southern Cal, and so I would think of sort of the pot-smoking party boys, right? These guys who were just living for the moment. They were all over the place. They were in my circle of friends. I didn't join them in everything, most everything. I didn't join them in anything, actually, just to be honest. And I always thought in other words, these people are overtly, you know, pagan and sinful and living outside the Christian life and rejecting the cross. I would think of a friend of mine named Rick, who when I decided to go to the seminary, he actually warned me. He actually said, "Oh man, you know, what a drag, you know, and what a drag coming to the seminary." He said, "Oh man, what a waste." And he characterized Christians in this way, which is actually, you know, kind of insightful. He said, "You know, it's like, dude, you guys like follow a guy who's, I think he's probably really cool, but like the most famous thing about him is that he got killed in a horrible way. It's like, what a drag, man, you know?" And you have to think, you know, well, that's right. We follow a guy who is famous for getting killed in a pretty horrible way. My response was, "Yeah, but he rose from the dead." And he said, "Well, dude, that's what you think, you know?" And I always thought of this guy as the ultimate, like, enemy of the cross. You know, I'm going to avoid Jesus because I don't want to suffer and die. And yet, if Paul is likely talking about those who have believed the gospel and have now abandoned it or are abandoning it, he's talking about a very real temptation that all of us face, that at any moment we might be afraid of suffering life, suffering the loss of life and property right now. We might be very afraid of, well, acting not in our own interest, but having to act only and always in the interest of others as we follow our Lord. And so this warning is for you, even as this temptation is there for us. And so I remind you instead, you are not those who are earthly minded. God has called you to be citizens of the commonwealth of heaven. You are those who acknowledge the rule and reign of the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and who live as if he is Lord. Because Jesus has come and saved you. He came as your servant to save you from the destruction of hell and transfer you into the reign of our Lord's salvation. And not only that, he's not through with you. As Paul says, we await a Savior from heaven who will change our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. Yeah, the universe may not fully confess that Jesus is Lord, but you know that he is, and you do make that confession. And not only that, you trust in what he has done when he forsook the glory of heaven to come as your servant and to save you from destruction. May the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, keep you steadfast in this faith and in this calling, both now and unto life everlasting. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.